Sportscast, December 11th. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net for the latest in news this week. A lot of college coaches being hired. Some coaches are waiting for the NFL season to get over. Ron Rivera is still available. This episode is brought to you by Insta Bible app. Download the app. Share a verse to the world. The SEC championship wasn't even close. It didn't look like a SEC championship team against a ACC team, where LSU defeated Georgia 37-10. And to talk to us a little bit about that, he was pretty much there himself, live tweeting the game. Justin Riley, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Hey, glad to be back. Yeah, man, I was the SEC representative on a weekend that Alabama was not playing. It was a really odd situation for me, but, you know, I was there nonetheless, you know, taking one for the Sportscast team.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, Alabama has been probably, what, in like 7 out of the 10 SEC championships?
Yeah, around that. So basically, we've made the SEC championship our home. But, yeah, it's really odd, you know, just not seeing the crimson and white on the field there. So, but, you know, it was still a pretty interesting game, at least for a few minutes.
Yes, LSU dominated a huge, huge role in against Georgia. Georgia was pretty much playing at home. The stadium is not; it's a couple of miles away. Well, it's actually in Athens, Georgia. The Tigers won their first SEC crown since 2011. It's been that long, and made a strong case to be the number one team in the country by the College Football Playoff Committee. And it went over Ohio State. I guess, you know, people were saying maybe Ohio State will finish first, so, you know, wipe out Wisconsin. But it turned out to be LSU and Joe Burrow. I mean, were you surprised with the score?
Well, to be honest with you, I was very surprised. I thought it was going to be a much harder fought game than what we saw. You know, coming into the game, Georgia had the number two defense in the country. So that, and up until that point, I don't think that they were giving up more than 20 points per game. So I kind of felt comfortable in saying that, you know, it would be a much tougher contest and they would make things a little bit tougher on Joe Burrow. However, that was not the case. Georgia just got railroaded. I mean, from the very start. And you could really tell that there was a problem not having those wide receivers playing. And then DeAndre Swift was definitely not 100% either. So he doesn't do the things that he normally did. But to be honest with you, watching the LSU defense playing the way they did, it really wouldn't have mattered. Now, Georgia had their chances early to get into the game and to make a statement, but they missed each time they had something going or could have had something going. They couldn't connect on some big passes that would have set them up in great field position and possibly a score. Just couldn't put anything together. And, you know, there's only a limited window when you're playing against an elite team like LSU that you had to do something. And that window closed, and then the game was painted in purple and gold.
Yeah, Joe Burrow had 349 yards, 4 touchdowns. Looks like he was playing for the Heisman, wasn't he?
To be honest with you, I believe that Joe Burrow sealed that deal a long time ago. The real mystery here is who's going to finish second in this race. Joe Burrow has not had a bad game, in my opinion, the entire season. It very rarely has he made mistakes. And it's like he was just trying to put the icing on the cake with another spectacular performance. There was a play in the second half where he was running for his life, scramble, and then just threw up a prayer, connected it, and it was taking him, I think, around 70 yards to put LSU in scoring position. So the man was just playing out of his mind. And this is a guy that's on a mission, and he is bound and determined to get his team to a championship.
Can you see this LSU team winning the whole thing?
I really can. You know, a lot of people were criticizing LSU because of their defense towards the later part of the season. And a lot of people forget that LSU were suffering some injuries, and they really weren't playing to LSU standard. Well, here against Georgia, these players were healthy again. And one of the leaders, Grant Delpit, was 100% as well. And so we finally got to see what a full, healthy LSU can do on that defense. And I honestly don't believe that there's a more complete team in the country right now than LSU. I think everybody's trying to force us to believe that Ohio State was or is, but after seeing both teams play on this past Saturday, there's no way that you can argue with me that LSU is the better, more complete team.
LSU's first matchup in the playoffs is against Oklahoma Sooners, who they beat Baylor 30-23 in overtime. What did you think about Oklahoma's performance? Obviously, there were some talks about Hurts fumbling the ball a lot. Oklahoma won, but they won ugly.
They didn't win ugly, and quite honestly, I thought that Oklahoma would use this opportunity to make a statement and pull away from Baylor, especially after that first contest. But it seems like a lot of Oklahoma's problems are still there. Now, the defense played tremendously better, and they really made a good statement. It was a good game. Like you say, it was very ugly, but it was still one of the better games to watch on the weekend. Hurts did have some issues. It seems like he's having some issues with turnovers and sloppy play towards the later part of the season, which I think is going to start drawing some concerns as it goes towards the NFL draft. I don't think it's going to affect his Heisman potential because, you know, like I said, you know, Joe Burrow has all but sealed that deal. They really should have brought him the trophy during the game. But anyway, I was really impressed with Baylor's heart and tenacity, especially, you know, when they had to play with their third-string quarterback, Jacob Zeno. This guy came off the bench and just started throwing bullets and put Baylor within an opportunity to get their first conference championship in I don't know how long or even ever. But Oklahoma clamped down, that defense showed up, and it seems like every time the ball was snapped, Zeno was being put on his back.
Yeah, Oklahoma's first game is against LSU in the playoffs. You know, the final playoff tally first was LSU, Ohio State, then Clemson, and Oklahoma. Some say this is a three-team college playoff series because Oklahoma is the very weak. A very, very weak number four against LSU. So do you think LSU will not have any problems against Oklahoma?
Well, I think they'll have, you know, some issues just because of how good that offense is. But the only problem is Oklahoma, even though they play better defensively against Baylor, I don't feel like that they got the horses there to stop that dynamic LSU offense. And that LSU offense is on fire right now. But like I said earlier, too, you know, LSU's defense is playing a whole lot better. Everybody's healthy, and it's going to create some problems for that offense. So I honestly believe, I mean, I'm cheering for Jalen Hurts. I'd love to see him move past this round and get to a title and possibly win. But the reality of it is Oklahoma is just not balanced enough to beat LSU.
What are Alabama fans saying about Jalen Hurts in Oklahoma?
Alabama fans have been saying the same thing about Jalen Hurts that they have been since he departed and made his decision. You know, we fully support him. Everybody is all about Jalen. Very happy. There's been no negative words said. There's no jealousy or anger because of what he's doing, regardless of, you know, what's being put out on social media right now. Everybody is really excited for Jalen. We're cheering for Jalen, and we would love to see him, like I said, you know, get to that podium and hoist that trophy. I think it's a very fitting end to his collegiate career and his collegiate story, and I think a lot of Alabama fans would echo the same thing.
Of course, Jalen Hurts does have playoff experience playing in the playoffs for the past couple years. Of course, he's with an Oklahoma, which has a weak defense. That's the only caveat. So far, have you seen Jalen's throwing ability improve this past season?
Well, the first part of the season, yes. I think that he has made much better decisions. He has been going through his progressions a lot better. He's been patient in the pocket. Now, towards the later part of the season, it seemed to me like he started reverting a little bit and that he wasn't really going through his progressions, and he kind of got back in that panic mode where if the first receiver isn't open, he's going to try to do it with his legs. So I was kind of concerned about that. I really had hoped that he'd move past that, which had drawn a lot of criticism. He had drawn a lot of criticism for while at Alabama. Maybe during the off weeks leading up to the playoff game, he'll be able to get more grounded and focused back to doing what he's supposed to be doing. But, yeah, for a time, I felt like he was becoming a better passer and a better all-around quarterback. Just for some reason, he just kind of took a couple of back steps. I think it mainly was because he started making bad decisions, like you were saying earlier, with turnovers and sloppy play. I think maybe he probably started to kind of doubt himself a little bit.
Complacency definitely kicks in sometimes in the middle of the season. Oklahoma has not played too many hard games, very similar to Alabama. Of course, they lost against TCU, and of course they played against Oklahoma State, tough game, and then Baylor. But the competitiveness is not the same as the SEC or Big Ten. But we'll see what Hurts does against LSU. No, not much high hopes there. But hey, football, anything can happen. Touchdowns can change games. As well.
Well, to his defense, if you look at Jalen Hurts has a pretty good track record against LSU. So, hey, who knows? He might draw from that well again. It's really cool because he is the first quarterback in college football history to lead two different teams to a college football playoff.
One man difference. Alabama's playing Michigan in the Cotton Bowl. Which they finished at number 13, which is really odd to see them finish in the teens for the past couple of years. Are you pretty happy about this matchup?
Yeah, I think that a lot of Alabama fans are pretty excited about this matchup. We were just trying to find something to be really hyped up about, and I think that the team choosing was going to determine just how excited we would be about it, and then also how excited the team would be about it as well. And I don't think they could have picked a better matchup, than the Michigan Wolverines, especially with Jim Harbaugh doing all the trash talk he's been doing, not only about Alabama, but the SEC as a whole. So it gives us a little extra fuel. We finally get to see the Saban versus Harbaugh matchup that we've been wanting for the past few years. A lot of us thought that it was going to be in a playoff situation, but that's not to be. And quite honestly, I don't think Harbaugh could ever have gotten Michigan to that that kind of platform. But nonetheless, we got it. And it's a pretty exciting matchup. It's a marquee matchup. It's on New Year's Day. So there's a lot to watch here.
Yeah, correction, guys. It's not the Cotton Bowl. It's at the Camping World Stadium in Orlando. It'll be on New Year's Day, 1 p.m. Eastern, so right in the middle of the sun. And it'd be Nick Saban versus Jim Harbaugh. Have you heard of any players going to join the NFL draft and possibly not playing for this game?
I haven't heard anything about players not playing. From what I understand, news in Tuscaloosa is saying that if players do opt for the NFL draft, they're still going to play, which is very exciting because you definitely want to see the best on best, especially in this Michigan matchup. Even though we will have some people possibly leaving, they are committed, from what I understand, to playing in this game.
Who do you think will be going to the NFL draft next year?
Well, from what I understand, Jedrick Willis, one of our offensive linemen, who's right now being graded as a first round pick, he made top 15. He more likely is going to be making the addition to NFL. From what I'm hearing, also Najee Harris,
of course,
and
yeah.
Jerry Jeudy will be departing. Of course, Jerry Jeudy, is rated pretty high. Some have rated him as high as top five in the NFL draft.
Yeah,
Najee Harris has increased his stock. Maybe sneaking into the first round.
Yeah, definitely. Jerry Jeudy, I've been hearing that a lot. Of course, those are big names. Everyone saw the Iron Bowl. And if they were playing for the NFL draft in that game, they for sure showed it.
Right. Now, another guy that's 50-50 right now is Xavier McKinney. I think he just kind of wants to see where he's going to be graded at. Some folks haven't rated it as a first-round guy. So he's just really trying to evaluate everything right now before he announces his decision.
Of course, the million-dollar question is if Tua Tagovailoa will be coming back. Some experts say there's nothing else to prove. He should go to the NFL draft. Justin, what do you think?
Well, a lot of experts are saying that, but the thing is, you know, we Tua and none of us know exactly where he's going to be graded at. You know, the reports could come back and say one thing. You know, some could say, okay, well, he's still a top 10 pick. He's still a top 15 pick. But that's a lot of time between now and the draft for things to change. And then it's a lot of time also for coaches, GMs, whatnot, to start second-guessing things. So while he may grade still first round right now, some of that doubt might begin to resonate between now and then. So, you know, it could cause his stock to drop a little bit. You know, now, on the plus side, too, is looking at it as, well, if I come back, I got a great opportunity to cause my stock to go back up. I have a great opportunity to show scouts, GMs, coaches that I have healed 100% and I can still go. So, I mean, he's having to weigh his options right now. I wouldn't be surprised if he came back, and if he left, I mean, we all understand why.
But, you know, of course, he had a press conference last week, I believe. Did he mention anything about his status health-wise, or he just said, hey, guys, I'm just going through this and, you know, whatever. But what did he say specifically?
Well, he just trying to give everybody full disclosure as to his progress right now. And he says he's right on track. And according to his doctors, he's going to make 100% recovery. So, yeah, that's very good news. And it seems like he may possibly progress a lot faster. But, you know, that's time will tell there. But he's just trying to let everybody know that, hey, I'm going to be keeping everyone in the loop throughout this whole process. He's praying about it. He's just taking a lot of time to really reflect on what he needs to do. He did tell everybody, which has gotten everybody in a stir, that there's a players-only meeting that took place to determine, you know, what he's going to do and what some of the other juniors are going to do, as well as, you know, who's going to be playing for the bowl game. And based on the report that came out from Sports Illustrated, a lot of these juniors who could leave early are possibly going to be coming back. So, you know, we're looking at people like Henry Ruggs III, looking at people like Devontae Smith, looking at folks like Terrell Lewis, and some others. So if that's true, then Alabama fans have a lot to be excited about.
You know, after that press conference, I was thinking, it seems like all signs are pointing him to go to the NFL draft. I think he's telling something to the world, but I think to the NFL people, hey, I'm doing fine. That's what it feels like, doesn't it, for you?
Well, to be honest with you, I think it could go either way. I think I can see your way of view there, but I'm also going to see, you know, him possibly hinting towards a comeback to Alabama. But no one really knows the answer right now, except maybe Tua, if he does know the answer yet. But whatever decision he makes, it wouldn't be a surprise either way. So it's kind of a 50-50 thing right now.
And what does your gut tell you?
Man, well, my gut right now, I'm kind of leaning towards him leaving.
I think it makes sense. I mean, I'm with Tyler. I think he has nothing else to prove.
Well, the only thing, I guess, he don't have to prove anything stat-wise. He don't have to prove anything ability-wise. The only thing that he would, quote, have to prove would be, you know, has he fully recovered? Is he fully healthy? Is he durable? So that would be the only, like, I guess, proof that anybody would need as far as his draft status.
Yeah, that's something that I think people already know. You know, he will be not 100% healthy. I mean, he could be a couple of seasons in the NFL healthy, but there'd be some seasons at a time where he might be out, you know, for a few games.
He could. It kind of depends on where, you know, his progress is. The only concern I have, if he does go, is he going to be thrust into a situation where they need him to play right away, like at Cincinnati,
which is trendy.
Miami. Yeah, right. Like at Miami. You know, if he is going to go, I'd rather him go to a situation where he doesn't have to be the guy right away, and he's not in a situation where the pressure is on him to save the organization right then, right there. Hey, I think he needs to be in a situation where if he needs to heal a little bit more, heal. But I also would think, to me, I would think it would be better for Tua to be under the guide of a veteran quarterback that can kind of groom him and prepare him for the next step. That way there is no rush, especially health-wise, for him to get onto the field.
Like the Dolphins' Fitzpatrick, right?
Yeah, or, I mean, possibly, and I've said before, you know, what about New Orleans? What about putting him there to be Drew Brees' successor?
Or the Patriots, you know, or
the Patriots,
or the guy from the Chargers. Right. That's the same argument Tyler's having. They put Herbert under those big stars.
Well, I think that a lot of these guys would benefit well, especially who are drawing questions.
Oh yeah,
scouts like Herbert, like Tua, you know,
or Burrow
behind. Well, Burrow's not really drawing a whole lot of questions right now. At least not to the level of these other guys.
They're going to put him in. They're going to put him in his first game in the NFL. He's starting.
That's pretty much what it's trending towards right now. I feel like if any of the quarterbacks, scouts are comfortable saying he probably is the most NFL ready at this
point.
Oh,
man.
Doesn't have a whole lot of negatives.
I think confidence, so much confidence with Burrow. Herbert, I'm not sure. Game pressure, he probably chokes. And they had Tua about, you know, being injured. So it feels like Burrow is the most confident draft potential to be number
Absolutely.
One.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think it sounds sealed and delivered unless something unforeseen happens between now and draft day.
Something, yeah, a lot of things can happen. Like I said, guys, 1 year ago, Murray was not a first rounder. He was a second rounder at best. He became the first pick of the first round. So anything can happen between now and May, night and day. So, but if you win the Heisman, that kind of gives you more brownie points, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely helps your resume a little bit, yes. But it is, like you said, you know, a lot of things can change. There's so much time between now and the NFL draft. And, you know, these owners and decision makers are so, you know, just quirky and fluky, you know. They could change their minds on these quarterbacks any given moment for whatever reason. Somebody will ascend that shouldn't, and some will descend that shouldn't. You know, basically it was weeks before the draft, and all of a sudden Murray is considered the number one pick. You know, weeks before that, months before that, that wasn't even a consideration, like you said.
No.
Like, you know, at best, he would have been second round.
They were telling him to go to Major League Baseball.
Right. So a lot of people could they could change their minds. And like I said, a lot of it, too, is also based on flash, appeal, flavor of the month type thing, potential. So, yeah, it's a fickle type situation, but – and that, like I said earlier, which Tua's situation, he could be evaluated high right now, but during that whole that window of waiting, he could drop. So how does he benefit for possibly coming out right now?
And the question is, when does he have to decide if he wants to enter the draft? What is the latest date?
I believe it's the 20th of January.
Wow.
or around that. So he has some time to make a decision.
He has a month. I think I'm probably with Tyler and probably yourself. I think he should go to the NFL, but we'll see what happens. Only God knows and Tua knows. So we'll see how things go. We'll keep you up to date on thesportscast.net. The Lane Train. Lane Kiffin's going to Ole Miss, Justin. He's going to your home state. Is that a big, big statement for Lane Kiffin?
Well, it's big for Lane Kiffin because he is beginning to shed the negative vibe that he has brought to himself over the past few years. A lot of people now are willing to give him that second chance at that big job. Well, it's not really a big job, but a job at a major conference. And he really has shown a lot of growth and maturity, and I've followed him over the past few years while he's been at Florida Atlantic, and he's done a lot of great things. His mindset has changed. His position has changed. And what's really impressed me the most about him is that he's a player's first guy. He's not about just getting guys to the NFL and winning championships immediately. He's about investing in young men's lives, growing them and maturing them, and just helping them become better people at life. And, of course, you know, if they can get to the NFL along the way, you know, that's great. That's not his his primary focus. Now, this is a big hire for Ole Miss, who I think made a rash decision in firing Matt Luke. You know, I could spend a lot of time giving my reasons why, but the Rebel Nation are an impatient bunch. They've always been impatient. They have always been very envious of other schools and feel like that they should be that same level as an Alabama, as an Ohio State, you know, Oklahoma, so on and so forth. But they've never quite been there. And, you know, it does make life a little bit more difficult when your rival down the road has been outperforming your school for several years now and also has beaten them in back-to-back Egg Bowls. So they felt like they needed to make a big splash, and they chose Lane Kiffin. And I think it's a good fit for both of them. I think his personality and his style is what the Rebels need. I think he's a no-nonsense kind of guy. And I think he's a guy that's going to ruffle feathers and get people fired up. And I just think it's a great situation for both parties.
And can Ole Miss be competitive in the recruiting field?
Well, yeah, having Lane Kiffin there just automatically boosted their recruiting credibility. You know, yeah, he's a guy that has coached a lot of players who are in the NFL, are going to the NFL. He's, you know, won championships at various places. So it adds instant credibility to the recruiting process at Ole Miss. But the recruiting process at Ole Miss is going to be a battle because he's recruiting against Alabama. He's recruiting against Auburn. He's recruiting against LSU. So those are pretty big names to be competing against year after year. But I think he's going to be able to hold his own.
Yeah, and definitely he's going to put a lot more pressure in the SEC West. What do you mean?
Oh, not that there's not pressure there already, but yeah, I mean, he makes the SEC West the heavyweight of the SEC right now because, you know, the East isn't quite, you know, there
it's
yet.
Just two teams.
It's still considered, well, yeah, still considered top heavy. Georgia's still the alpha. Florida is getting better and looks like they're on the upward swing and quite possibly could be another big dog in the East. Looks like right now, based on what I've seen, you know, Tennessee is getting out of the dungeon and out of the garbage can of the SEC.
So you're saying it'll be a well-balanced SEC now?
It's leading towards that. The East is starting to come along a little bit. Like I said, I think Jeremy Pruitt is doing some good things over at Tennessee. So maybe we have Tennessee moving up. We got Florida getting better and Georgia getting better. So it looks like it's going to be the SEC of old, presumably. So, yeah, the recruiting battle across the board is just going to be a war.
Yeah, and obviously we just heard from news that Florida got a recruit. They flipped it from, I think, Texas A&M, a big, I think it's a five-star recruit. So that things should get a little bit more spicier in the SEC.
Well, I tell you what, man, Dan Mullen is doing some amazing things. And he's getting Florida to a much better place a lot quicker than some people thought. And I kind of think now that Jimbo Fisher might be on the downward swing because he really isn't doing what a lot of folks thought he would.
He's just collecting paychecks.
He's collecting paychecks, but he definitely is not collecting he's not earning the paycheck that warranted his signing. A lot of folks, you know, thought that he was going to turn Texas A&M around and do so pretty quickly, especially with the recruiting successes he's had over there. But he hadn't been able to win big games, and he is still, you know, gotten A&M to middle-of-the-road type seasons.
That's not good. Of course, Texas A&M, has I can't say a rich history, but a good history in football. But not being competitive enough in these past couple of years, maybe since Manziel's been around. But anyways, let's go into game predictions. Are you ready?
Yes, do it.
Army versus Navy, a Navy that has been ranked this year.
This is always a fun game. You know, this isn't commercialized. This isn't a game about who's going to win what award. This isn't about the playoffs.
It's the only game this weekend.
It's the only game this weekend. I think this game is like the purest game of the sport. You know, you got, you know, Army, Navy, America. it's a pretty exciting thing. It's always a great venue, great contest, man, and really looking forward to it. And like you said, you know, it's the only game this weekend, so it gives us a little bit of
something to chew on.
It's called what you want, calm that itch until bowl season officially kicks off. So, but yeah, it's going to be a great game. The uniforms are on point. Don't know if you've seen those yet. But I feel like that Navy is the stronger team of the two.
Oh, by
but
far.
You never know. Yeah, but you never know in this rivalry, man. But I'm going to go with the midshipmen here.
Tomorrow, Thursday night football, Jets, Ravens.
This game is a surefire game. I mean, there's no reason why the Ravens should, but should lose. It could be a trap game. Well, it kind of depends on the health of Lamar Jackson right now. He got a little banged up against the Bills in that away game they had over this past weekend. The Ravens as a whole, they are probably a little banged up right now. They've had two back-to-back really good victories. They became playoff eligible this past weekend. I think the Ravens are going to win, but I think it may be a little closer than it should be. But the Ravens should win this game.
Yeah, we'll see go ahead.
Depending on regards to the health of Lamar Jackson, I think that running game is just going to plow through everybody. Mark Ingram is fired up, and I think he's just going to run all over that struggling New York Jet defense. And one of the biggest things that I've noticed about the Ravens this year, they're just so more physically dominant than the teams they go up against. Regardless of what the score is, if you just look in the trenches, man, the Ravens' offensive line are just beating people to a pulp. And it doesn't look like that's going to slow down. So I expect the running game to take over. Mark Ingram has a big day, and the Ravens beat the Jets.
The Texans versus the Titans. A Tannehill. A resurrected Tannehill.
He seemed to have found life here, hadn't he?
I'm telling you, man. They obviously thought he was going to be bad, but no, he's a starting quarterback. He played for the Dolphins, played against these tough teams, but hey, he's a great backup.
Well, and people thought, you know, that's why they brought him there. They thought he was going to be just a great backup, and they thought that his best days were behind him, or really, you know, he really was never going to be that superstar. But lo and behold, he comes over to the Titans, and it seems like his career has life. And, you know, and you tend to see that from players who leave bad organizations and bad situations that especially are toxic. Once you pull them out of that muck and mire and you put them in a healthier environment, they're a different player. I mean, look at Amari Cooper this past season after he left Oakland. A lot of people were questioning giving up, you know, some draft picks and some other things to acquire him. But all of a sudden, you know, he got back to being Amari again. I mean, I'm not saying Tannehill's on that level yet. He's just in a better situation, and he is helping the Titans become one of the hotter teams right now in the AFC. So,
and don't forget about Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry is on fire right now. I believe he's leading the NFL in rushing. Is that right?
I think he's up there with Chris McCaffrey.
Yeah, so he's one of the top running backs in the NFL right now, having a monster season, and he really is the heart and soul of that offense. Just amazing. A lot of people were calling him a bust. A lot of people were saying that he's
going to the XFL.
Yeah, well, hey, a lot of people were doubting King Henry. Well, King Henry is ruling his court right now, and doesn't look like he's slowing down.
And Bo Scarborough, how's he doing?
Bo Scarborough, he's one of the few things that's really going well for the Lions right now. So, and he was a late season acquisition off of waivers, and he seems to be doing pretty well. And for fantasy owners, he's doing pretty well for you too. But yeah, back to the Titans Texans game. Man, this is a pretty big matchup here. I'm going to go with the Titans because I think they're on a roll, and I don't think they're going to slow down.
I think I'm going to start Tannehill over Dak this weekend in my fantasy team.
A smart move because you got two quarterbacks in two totally different situations. You know, Dak is in a situation where his team as a whole They're very frustrated. They're underperforming. It's just a mess over there. Whereas Tannehill is in a much better situation. His team is marching towards a playoff berth. They've really been performing well. Things are going their way. I would definitely feel safer picking Tannehill than Dak right now.
Thank you. I think you help out with my situation here. What is your favorite Oreos, classic, red velvet, mint, or Halloween?
Man, I voted on this earlier. I mean, I love the red velvet, man. I'm a red velvet cake guy. Love the Oreo version of it, especially around the holidays.
Yeah, classic is winning, actually, 76%. Red velvet is tied with mint at 12.
It's tied with mint?
Tied with mint.
Nah, man. Red velvet tastes a lot better than mint. Come on, folks.
And Halloween is at zero, so Halloween has not gotten any votes yet.
Whoa, no love, man.
But you got 16 hours left to vote of who's your favorite Oreos. Of course, Oreos is a Christmas treat, especially when it's red velvet and things like that. Justin, how can people reach you to talk to you about Josh Jacobs?
He's one of the best running backs in the NFL right now. We got two Alabama guys, both with over 1,000 yards rushing apiece. Life is good for the Bama backs, and Mark Ingram will soon be joining the 1,000-yard club soon as well. So looking forward to that. Reach me, man. Just do what they did in the Rocky movies and open a window and go, hey, yo. No, seriously, you can find me on Twitter, at 121Training. That's the number 12, one spelled out, training. Same with Instagram. And I help run our sportscast Instagram and Twitter a lot of times too. So chances are, if you're going through our timeline, I'm probably the one who is adding some material at the time. So you got some options here.
A question from one of our fans: who's doing better this season, Quinnen Williams or Minkah Fitzpatrick?
Without question, Minkah Fitzpatrick, man, he's just been on fire ever since he left the Dolphins and got with the Steelers. He's one of the main reasons why the Steelers are very competitive and going to make the playoffs. I mean, that defense, he was the final piece that was installed that just really made this defense something to reckon with, and one of the better defenses in the AFC. Minkah's been looking like prime time here this season, so got to go with Minkah.
Good fit for the Steelers, right?
What's that?
Good fit for the Steelers, Minkah.
Oh, yeah, without question, man.
Yeah, obviously, the Duck, the quarterback for the Steelers, is doing a great job over Mason.
The pride of Sanford. It's pretty awesome, man.
Pretty good itself. And you can follow all these news, all these quarrels on thesportscast.net for the latest and greatest. We'll be keeping you guys up to date. The early signing period for college football is coming up. It's next week before Christmas, of all days. And we'll be following up what's going to happen. Alabama's looking good right now. I think they're number two in recruiting.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's really funny is that everybody is claiming the downfall of Saban and the dynasty. Well, you know, if it's truly the downfall of Saban and the dynasty, then why in the world are we still amongst the best in recruiting right now? So, you know, it's not over, folks. You know, Alabama's still there. And until proven otherwise, you know, we're going to be there for a little bit. So, sorry to let you all down.
I wonder if there's a way to watch that HBO special that had last night with Nick Saban and Bill Belichick.
I wish we could just live stream it on our on Twitter there for our fans or our website.
We'll have to use some type of, like, third-party webcam and just, you know, stream it from a computer.
We got to have something. Or, you know, I don't know if we're a big enough entity yet to get a little something going with HBO to make that happen, but, you know, it's worth a shot.
Yeah, they'll probably take it down, though. That's probably what's going to happen.
Well, that's what they do.
But yeah, if you have an HBO subscription, you can watch the Bill Belichick and Nick Saban. They did work together with the Cleveland Browns. I believe I heard one quote that that Bill Belichick learned a lot from Nick Saban. So it's quite and vice versa. But I heard a lot more with Bill Belichick. So
yeah, it's kind of funny. The last one of the last victories Saban had in the NFL was against Bill Belichick's Patriots.
Yeah. So it's quite an interesting relationship. They're both very successful coaches. Bill Belichick has won 6 championships. Nick Saban has won 6, right, with Alabama?
That's right. He's tied with Bear Bryant.
Yeah, so obviously those two share a lot of parallels when it comes to professional football. Right now, Bill Belichick is dealing with a cheating issue with the Bengals. I don't know why you had to worry about the Bengals, but that's a little suspicious because they've done it before about 20 years ago, and gosh.
The suspicion more is, why would they do it for the Bengals?
Yeah, there's that game is very winnable. I mean, like Ole Miss can beat them, to be honest. So.
Oh, wow. Just a reminder, everybody, the Bengals had the top pick in the draft order right now.
Well, actually, I hope the Bengals win so the Dolphins can move up. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. Dolphins have three quarterbacks to choose from. Hopefully, we'll get one of them. I think it's a win-win situation for the Dolphins. Anyways, Justin Riley, always a pleasure. We'll see you tonight at the Big Show, 6 p.m. Eastern.
I'll be here, man.
We'll have Ryan potentially if he's not coaching, and maybe Brian Glaze.
Hey, let's do it. We're ready.
Have a good day, sir.
You too.